Hi, and welcome to episode 10 of the Tyagi Group Training Intelligence Podcast. I'm here with our resident mad scientist, Tyagi. Hi, Tyagi.
Hello, Matt.
So it's been a really long time since we've done one of these.
Exactly.
So you've been traveling all over the world, so I was gonna blame it on you.
Yes, and you've been making money all around the U.S. I'm going to blame it on you.
Okay, all right. So we're both at fault for our long delay between episode 9 and 10. So what would you like to talk about today?
Hey, I want to call this particular podcast Shut Up and Deal the Cards. And I'm going to focus on using a special type of training content-based playing cards.
And how are those different than the playing cards we've used in the past?
Okay, so the regular playing cards have four suits, clubs, hearts, spades, and diamonds, and 13 values. Ace, 2, 3, 4, all the way to Jack, Queen, and the King. Now, these playing cards, the training playing cards, have the card indexes, like every card has a value and a suit, but they also contain some content, some text materials, some statements printed on the cards that are related to training topics.
So instead of just being able to buy a deck off the shelf in a drugstore, you need to have a special deck that has specific content related to your training topic.
Exactly, Matt. That is the main idea. And the content can take a lot of different approaches. We currently have card decks related to such topics as leadership and motivation, customer service, listening skills, performance,
feedback,
presentation skills, and building trust. So these are some of the topics on which we have created card content for playing these games.
So before we get into the mechanics of how the games work, are the models represented in the card games directly correlated to a specific model, or will they work with any training program that's generic?
Let me respond to that by giving you an anecdote, a story.
Great.
As you know, I read extensively, and I have recently started working on the area of listening skills. And I have three bookshelves full of books on listening skills. And I even joined the International Association of Listening Professionals, and I'm planning to get certification. I want to become a certified listening professional. I'm not making these things up. I have probably skimmed, read, studied some 750,000 pages of content on models of listening, procedures, case studies, research, and things of that nature.
I have to interrupt. I just am having trouble imagining a listening skills conference. Must be very quiet.
Hey, that is funny.
Thank you. I'm here all night.
Good. So back to my blabbering. So in spite of all of these, my wife Lucy keeps reminding me frequently, you are not listening. This always irritated me. And totally independent of all of these, I went to a Chinese restaurant, and after the meal, got a fortune cookie, opened the cookie, and coincidentally, the fortune cookie message said, "Wisdom comes from listening. Listening comes from keeping your mouth shut." And this was so inspiring. I said, what it means is rule number one for being a better listener is to keep your mouth shut. So I decided to implement this piece of advice for one whole week. And I got all kinds of testimonials and positive feedback on what a great listener I have turned out to be. So this got me thinking, it is not how many models, how many scientific sets of guidelines, and how many books you have read. It is just a tiny, possibly isolated piece of advice, and a piece of practical advice is all we need. So that was one of the impetus for my pursuing a deck of cards called advice cards, or practical advice cards, and all of which means, no, I'm not following a specific model for listening. By the way, there are many models. There are interactive models. There are transactional models. There are communication models. There are one-way models. All kinds of models of listening. But what I'm doing is create cards with pieces of practical advice independent of what model of listening they are associated with.
So to sum that up, all of the cards have ideas that are very pragmatic and can apply to just about every model of listening or whatever the topic is.
Exactly, Matt. So particularly in the deck of cards card called the practical advice cards. For example, our leadership cards come from 19, count them, 19 different models of leadership.
In fact, one of the things that's kind of interesting about them is the cards have a lot of contradictory ideas in them. Right?
Yes, sometimes they do, and sometimes they have an idea which says situational leadership requires you use different approaches in different contexts and things of that nature.
So how are the, you use frame games as a way of structuring the activities. So how are the frame games set up?
Okay, and let me begin by briefly talking about three sets of frame games. Frame games, as most of our listeners know, are templates. So depends on the three types of cards. One type of cards is called classification cards. In classification cards, it is either some classification system like personality types or conflict resolution modes or stages in instructional design or steps in change management. So these cards, each card contains a statement that belongs to one category, one type of related ideas, or one step or stage of a process or procedure. So this deck of cards are called classification cards, and there are many games that go with the classification cards. And the other deck of cards are the advice cards, the cards I explained earlier, pieces of practical advice. There are currently about 15 different games that go with this type of content, practical advice type of content. And then there is a third type of cards called fluency cards. These are concepts or principles or procedures related to different topics like motivation or feedback or trust and things of that nature. So these are the three different decks of cards, Matt. Which type of cards are you most interested in? And I will describe them and we can pretend play some of the games associated with these cards.
So my bias is the fluency cards. I've been using those a lot with our clients, and it's really fun because participants who would never be caught dead playing card games get into such emotionally charged arguments as they play the fluency games. It's kind of fun to watch, and they walk out of there with a lot of concepts fleshed out way beyond what I could have taught them.
Okay, good. Let me explain what the fluency cards contain. There are four suits of cards: spades, clubs, hearts, and diamonds. So each card has a card index, like nine of clubs or six of diamonds and things of that nature. This is just for the purpose of reference. And all of these spades cards, to begin with, contain the name of a category. For example, I have in front of me the customer service deck of fluency cards. So I'm picking up a random card, 10 of spades, and it has this is the statement on 10 of spades, words and phrases that customers like to hear. So give me an example of a word or a phrase that customers like to hear, Matt.
I understand.
Wonderful. Give me something else.
I'm sorry.
Okay, good. This is how the game goes. One of the players, let us say there are five people playing the game with us, Matt. One of the players picks up a spade card, which has a category name for making a list. So it says words and phrases customers like to hear. Let's assume you, me, Leah, Jason, and Raja are playing the game. So this is the card you pick up and you read words and phrases customers like to hear. So everybody stands up and you say, "I understand." Leah says, "Thank you." Raja says, "Free." And I say, "Discount." And whoever is the fifth player says, "Special." And it is back to you. And you say, "Quality," and things of that nature. Obviously, I'm not a good customer service person because I have difficulty when it is my turn. So I hesitate for a long time and the other people make me sit down. If you hesitate along, you have to sit down. Or if you repeat a statement which was already made, like if somebody says free, and next round somebody else says the same word free, you have to sit down. So if you hesitate, if you repeat, or if he says something stupid, like we are playing for words and phrases customers like to hear, and you say artichoke, you have to sit down. And we keep going round and round until there is only one player left standing, and he gets the card. The object of this game is for you to get a set of four cards, one card of each suit. So this one is the listing card. Am I making sense, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are spade cards. And here is what you see in a club's card. A club's card has a compare task. And the task is for you to compare. What do you compare? The card has two categories identified. One is, for example, in the card which I picked up, six of clubs, it says compare intent of customer interaction and impact of customer interaction. Here is your job. Your job is to come up with a major similarity between intent and impact of customer interaction. You also have to come up with a major difference between these, the same two categories. So, Matt, what is the similarity between the intent and the impact of customer interaction?
If I want the customer to walk away recommending me, that's my intention. When the customer does walk away and recommend me, that's the impact.
Okay. So one similarity is the goal of both of these is getting a recommendation from the customer. So, Matt, what is a major difference between intent and impact?
Intent is what I would like to have happen. Impact is what actually happens, and they're not the same thing.
Okay. So, good. So, here is what the players do. One of the players pulls a club's card and reads the two categories. The other players write one similarity and one difference on a card and give it to the original player. This player reads the similarity and the difference and selects the one which he thinks is the best similarity and the best difference, and whoever wrote that card gets the club's card. So that is how you play the compare card, which are the club's cards. So two different tasks with two different sorts of cards. Are you ready for the next one?
Yep.
Okay. The next one is called a draw card. And this is a hearts card. Let us say three of hearts. It contains a simple label for a concept. It says customer satisfaction. And this is how the game is played. So let us assume there are five people playing the game, and Leah pulls out the card and reads what's on the card, customer satisfaction, and everybody takes 30 seconds secretly to draw a picture. And they all give these pictures to Leah, who mixes them up, print the picture side facing down, and then turns them over, looks at the pictures and say, this picture obviously of a person carrying a shopping bag with a big smile on the face. This one most clearly reflects a customer satisfaction. So that is how the game is played. The person who drew the most powerful, directly aligned picture associated with the label on the card gets to keep the card. So he takes the Three of Hearts cards. Remember, the goal is for people to continue playing, drawing from different decks, different suits of the card deck, and trying to get one card of each suit. So we saw the list, we saw the compare, we saw the draw cards. And the fourth card, Matt, the diamond cards, they are called the act. The act card is a card that requires role playing. It contains a scenario. For example, I'm pulling out an act card from the customer satisfaction deck. This is the nine of diamonds, and it contains your role, the role that the person who pulled out the card is supposed to play. So in this card, it says your role is customer service representative. And it also says other role, and the other role is a customer. And it describes a situation. So the situation presented on this nine of diamonds is an upset customer calls you with a problem. You listen carefully and soon recognize that another department is responsible for this situation. So this is the scenario. So far, so good, Matt?
Yep.
So let us say I pulled out the card. So my role is I'm a customer service rep. And I randomly look at the set of players and I choose somebody else, anybody else, to play the other role, in this case, a customer who is upset. So let us assume I select you. And both of us have heard the scenario. The customer has a problem, you're describing a problem, and I suddenly realize that the problem belongs to some other department. So let's do the role play, Matt.
Okay, and do you have a context that you'd like me to use, or I can make up my own?
You can make up your own context.
Okay, so Tiagi, I just bought this motorcycle helmet from you, and the size doesn't fit, but it's the size that your website told me to get.
Very, very glad you're bringing up the problem to me, Matt. My job is to make sure that this problem is immediately solved.
Well, I appreciate that, but apparently you don't have the size that fits me.
Okay, this obviously is a problem of the fulfillment department, but in our company, we don't say this is not my problem. So I'm taking this as my problem, Matt. I can do one of three different things, one of which is I can send out the correct size and I can retrieve your online order, find the correct size, and send it to you.
Oh, gee, Tiagi, how long is that going to take? I'm really upset about this. I really needed the new helmet.
What I will do, Matt, is we will overnight the helmet as soon as we find it.
Well, will that be weeks, months, years, days, hours?
Okay. I tell you what. If I don't find it by tomorrow, I will take the other approach, and which is we will send you back the money we charge to your credit card. So you will receive a full and complete refund plus a coupon for $10 worth of any of the things in our catalog that you can purchase.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Cut. So we do the role play for 2 minutes. We can use a sand timer, or we can use the countdown timer in our iPhone. At the end of 2 minutes, the role play stops. Now, everybody except me, that includes you who played the other role and the 3 other members of the play group who are the spectators, they all do a thumbs up or thumbs down to indicate whether they liked my performance as a sales representative from the point of view of customer satisfaction. If the majority of the other players, that include you, gives a thumbs up, I get to keep the card. Otherwise, I return the card to the discard pile.
Do we get to have a conversation about it? So I'd give you a thumbs up, but I would also say, here's one thing I would have done differently.
Exactly. We do a quick debrief of the role play, and we have people do thumbs up and thumbs down, but we also say, what are things you liked about it, and what are things you would change in the role play. Even if you're doing thumbs up, you can say, I liked the way you immediately responded, but I liked the hesitation when you said, this is not my department, even though you recovered immediately, or something like that.
So one of the things I really like about the fluency card decks is you get people thinking about application, you get people practicing, and you get people thinking through the concepts. So they're getting a conceptual understanding of the topic, they're getting to figure out different practical applications, and they're getting to actually literally role play and practice and get feedback. It's a pretty comprehensive framework.
Exactly, Matt. And what we have done is looked at various concepts and principles and procedures and incorporated them in the list, compare, draw, and act type of a thing. So we give people different tasks. So it is not the same role play after role play or listing after listing. So that is a change of pace. We are forcing the participants, actually encouraging the participants to approach the training topic from various points of view.
So let me ask you a couple mechanical problems, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Mechanical questions, not problems. The first one is, logistically, how long does it take to play this game?
Okay. There are 2 ways you can do it. One is to predetermine we are going to play the game for a total of 15 minutes. At the end of 15 minutes, whoever has the most number of cards that come from different tasks. So, for example, if you keep on winning draw cards, it counts only as one draw is the task. So whoever has the most number of different suits of cards is the winner. So you can set it up depending on the number of players. You can set it up for any specific period of time, like 10 minutes to 30 minutes. So this is how we can control. Usually, a typical game, if you don't set up a time limit, can take anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes, depending on the draw of cards and a little bit of chance element.
You need to, you choked yourself up, huh?
Yes, this is such an exciting game. I get choked up anytime I talk about it.
You're so emotional. It's funny.
I know.
Yeah.
That is a deck of cards, which we call emotional intelligence cards.
I think we should start doing decks that are non-business related, like dating and love and death.
Sounds good. Yeah, a lot of personal development decks.
Yeah. I think it's a gold mine.
Yes. And actually, I would like to encourage the readers to create their own decks. They can get blank cards and take a topic like dating or bringing up children, whatever topic they want. They can throw in content like first date, dumping your partner, things of that nature, and have people do drawing or listing or comparing or role playing.
Yeah, the value of a prenup.
Okay.
So, good. Going back to logistics. So, we also we have probably four or five different variations of what you described.
Yes, the games can be played differently. For example, the draw game, I had everybody draw and one person select the most effective picture. Instead of that, we can have a person pick up a card, don't show the label on the card to anybody. For example, I'm picking up a random card, seven of hearts. On that card, the label or the caption for the drawing is a reputation. So can you, instead of showing it to everybody and having everybody draw, I take the card, don't show it to anybody. The card says reputation, and then without telling the label, I start drawing on pieces of paper and encouraging other people to guess what I'm trying to draw. And the people yell out things like credibility, like trust, like reduction, purchase price, and all kinds of things. And I keep on changing the pictures or adding more pictures. And I have a 2-minute time limit. If somebody yells out the correct label, reputation in this case, before 2 minutes, I win. I get to keep the card. And the person who guessed correctly also gets another hearts card, another draw card. So this is a variation of handling the draw task.
Great. And so if any of our customers buy this deck, they will get all the variations we've come up with?
Yes. What we have done is we have produced a slim little game booklet. There are four different tasks, and for each of the tasks, there are at least two different ways of playing games associated with each of the task cards, Matt.
And these card decks can be found at tiagi.com, and each deck retails for $50. Although if you buy in volume, we will definitely discount.
Actually, just for the listeners, we'll sell them for $40, $39.95. How about that?
Brenda's going to love you. But sure,
good.
Call us at 812-332-1478 and tell them you are a listener of the Tiagi Group Training Intelligence Podcast, and we will sell you the decks for $39.95.
So, hey, let us not sound like a commercial.
The whole podcast has been a commercial.
Oh,
so let's rectify that. So let's say I don't want to buy any of the Tiagi Group's content, and I want to just create my own games. I get the frame. Makes sense. What are some no-cost solutions for creating my own deck of cards?
The simplest approach is for you, given the information, for you to create a list of categories for the list cards, a list of scenarios for the act cards, a list of labels for the draw cards, a list of paths of ideas for the compare card. So you need 13, that is not absolutely necessary. You need as many of these as you can, and then you can print them out on laser business cards or use index cards or, for that matter, piece of paper, and create your own deck of cards on any topic of your choice, like sales training or overcoming customer objections, things of that nature, Matt.
Right. And just for our listeners, I like the Avery business card stock is great. You can even print it double-sided, which enables you to brand it your own way as well.
Wonderful.
So it's pretty easy. Great. What? Give me a 99-second, no more than 99-second overview of the practical tips frame. So how I might actually use those.
Okay. Practical advice cards. Each card contains a piece of immediately usable practical advice on a training topic. And you compare, classify, organize, debate, discuss the types of advice found on each card by playing one of 12 to 15 different games.
That's it? Or are you choking?
Yeah, that was 99 seconds.
I thought you dropped dead. So good, that might be a good edit moment. So good, how about 99 seconds on the third game set?
Okay, the third game set is called Classification Games, and it could be a set of categories like personality types, or you've been using the DISC approach, so the DISC categories, or learning style preferences, or causes for performance deficit, or people from different countries, or cultural values. So any kind of category system can be used. Alternatively, you can use steps or stages in a procedure such as analysis, design, development, evaluation, implementation, or definition of problem, generation of ideas, incubation, selection of best ideas, implementation, or change management categories, or mediation steps. So these cards contain either statements related to steps in a process or procedure, or statements related to different categories of any classification system.
Good. That was more than 99 seconds, though.
Okay.
Just saying. So what are some risks in using these games in your training programs? What could go wrong?
I don't see any risks, because I'm obviously in a state of denial.
I was going to say you're an emperor with no clothes, but...
Which, by the way, if you want to learn more about denial and defense and minimization, you can play our classification card game on defensive behavior modes.
For only $39.95.
No, we don't talk money. This is not an infomercial.
Good point. At tiagi.com.
Yep.
Good. And so a couple of the risks that I've seen, and maybe you can just comment on my stupidity. But one is that the participants, depending on their background and skill level, are sometimes unaware or uncomfortable with some of the language on the cards. They struggle with some of the definitions. And so some of the participants I've had were slightly initially embarrassed not to know what some of the language was.
Oh, we try to keep all of our cards, the practical advice cards or the classification cards, using plain English as far as possible. For example, one of the cards in team development stages says team members do not know why they are in the team. Obviously, there are no technical terms other than team. Alternatively, here is another card. Team becomes more creative in accomplishing its goal. So we try to keep them as simple, plain English as possible.
Well, here, let me give you an example. So like on the motivation deck, we ask people to compare intrinsic motivation with extrinsic motivation. Some of the participants, if they've never heard the intrinsic or extrinsic ideas before, were unclear or uncomfortable with
Wonderful.
What those were. So how do we mitigate that risk of discomfort?
So we encourage people to interpret any technical sounding term the way they want to. So intrinsic and extrinsic, I'm assuming people have sufficiently extensive vocabulary to differentiate between what is intrinsic and extrinsic. So if they are to compare, maybe somebody says the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic is intrinsic motivation comes from inside and extrinsic motivation comes from outside. So when they are struggling to come up with similarities and differences, they usually end up discovering for themselves the nature of the technical term. And we are not looking in the game for the most accurate, technically correct classification, but one of the players listens to these different similarities and differences and decides which one is the best one. So while I agree that intrinsic and extrinsic are somewhat technical concepts, they could be, we are just softening people up and encouraging them to come up with their own intuitive definitions, Matt.
So is there a time and a place where we should use these games?
I think there are only three places where this game can be used. This could be used at the beginning of a training session on intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. So we are taking a baseline measure and we are encouraging the participants to think about these concepts. And so it could be used in the beginning. This could be followed by other activities, other presentations. Alternatively, the games can be used at the end of a training session. You had a training session on leadership procedures, for example, to summarize and review the concepts. You can play a game, one of these three types of card games, at the end of the training session. And you can use these games in the middle of a training session. You might have given some presentations on change management, for example, and rather than go to the next presentation, you play a game, and this game recalls some of the concepts you have made in your earlier presentation and some of the concepts which are new, which will be covered later. So the game becomes a segue from what they heard and what they are going to hear. So the games can be used in only three chronological situations: before, during,
and after.
After.
In other words, they can be used anytime.
Exactly. That is good. My line.
Sorry, I couldn't help but jump on the punchline.
Oh, so good.
So good. One of the questions we've gotten from a lot of our old-time customers and Tiagiites is they have the old card game frames that we used to sell and still do. And they're wondering if the new card decks can be applied to the old card game frames.
Oh, yes. If any game they know which we had created earlier can be applied to these new card game approaches, Matt.
Great. So the decks can work with the old frames, and the old decks could possibly even work with the new frames.
Yes.
Great. Good. Is there anything else you want to say about the new card games?
One of the things I would like to do is on a different podcast, I would like to talk about the games that go with the classification cards. They're very different from the fluency card games. And the games that go with the practical advice cards, and they are also very different. But looks like each one of these can be a complete podcast all by themselves, Matt.
Well, that's the beauty of the internet. We can upload as many as we want.
Good.
So, yeah. So why don't we do our next one then on those two games? And we'll just continue this as almost a part two.
Right. Yeah. We can even make it into three. So on this podcast, we described mostly about the fluency cards. We can have one practical advice cards. There are many, many games related to that and many examples. And then we can have one on classification cards.
Great, great. That'll be great. We've also had many requests for topics. And I thought we'd offer a challenge to our listeners to let us know what they would like us to cover, and we'll pick the ones that are highest in priority. We've had a lot of requests for a part two to your origin story. So our second podcast on your background and your history and some of your stories and coming to the U.S. and so forth, your background in instructional design. A lot of our listeners would like to continue on that.
Shucks. I have nothing to tell about myself. I'm a modest person.
It could be our 4-second podcast. It'll be a short one. And then we've also had some requests to do a podcast on improv.
Okay.
So, which is good because we make everything up anyway.
That is true. Yep.
And then we've had a couple requests for going deeper into debriefing.
Okay.
So we've given a model for debriefing, but doing a more advanced analysis of facilitating debriefs.
Hey, you got a good memory of all our podcasts or a list of our podcast titles.
I have a list right in front of me.
Okay.
They're all on our website at tiagi.com. I've been watching a lot of iCarly, and they always give their website. So I've been learning these things from the Nickelodeon shows.
Ah.
So the benefits of having kids.
Good.
So good. Any final words?
Nope. Can I go have my breakfast?
You can, but you've been up since 2, so I'm thinking this is dinner.
Okay, yep.
So, okay, well, you've been listening to the Tiagi Group Training Intelligence Podcast, Episode 10. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us at tiagi.com, or feel free to email either Matt or Tiagi at matt@tiagi.com or tiagi@tiagi.com. This show has been produced by me, Tiagi and Raja, and we'd love to hear your feedback. This can be found on iTunes or on our website, as can all of our previous training intelligence and business intelligence podcasts. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Hopefully not a year and a half from now, but hopefully next month. Take care.
Bye-bye.